Good morning. Today's Daf and Sota, Chaf Tes. So thank the Masuth family from West Orange, New Jersey for sponsorship of the entire Masechta. Learning that we do is Lezecha Nishmas Nechemia Ben Avraham. We are on Chaf Ches Amud Beis, short second Amud of yesterday's Daf, and we are continuing. We are trying to break down the dialogue, the discussion between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, a conversation that doesn't seem to be much of a conversation. In other words, two people that are talking not to each other, but in other words, they're talking and bouncing off ideas that seem to be going right opposite the person, but doesn't exactly hit the point. Before we get into the details of the machlokes between the two of them, let's go over. We opened up the fifth parak of the Masechta and Chav Zayin Amud Beis. And all the Mishnayos of the fifth parak are front loaded on that Amud, and in which we talked about two things principally in the opening of the Mishnah. We talked about Bedika, we talked about Isser. And that is that the Mayim is Bodek. The Mayim is going to be doing an examination. It's going to make a determination of what happened in that room. Nobody knows what happened in that room, other than, of course, the two principals, the wife and her Boel. But outside that, no one knows what happened. And now, as far as Isser is concerned, she is usher to her husband. That is a suffix sota, which, as we discussed yesterday, equals Isser. We discussed yesterday. We discussed it already since the beginning of the Masechta. So she is usher to her husband, and the water is going to create a determination. But what we learned at the opening of the fifth parak is not only is the Maim going to be bodik her, it's going to be bodik the bowl as well. He didn't drink, and yet the Maim is going to be bodik him as well. So in other words, if Tumah occurred in that room, so she and the Baal are going to both expire. That was the first point of the Mishnah. And the second point of the Mishnah is going to be regarding Isser. And that is that once she is a Sota, once she had Kinui, once she had Stira, so she's going to be Isser, and that's going to be a compound Isser. She's going to be Isser in multiple directions. The Isser is going to be towards her husband. The Isser is going to be towards the Baal, and the Isser is going to be also towards Truma Kahuna. Those last two points we made clear in yesterday's daf. But before we get to Truman Kahuna, so she's going to be usher to the Baal, and she's going to be usher to the Baal. Now, I already commented yesterday that if in fact she was Metame and she drank the water, so the Isser to the Baal and the Isser Baal is going to be kind of a moot point as she's going to die in. So therefore, her Isser Lagabe, all that is going to be not relevant. It will just simply be, in other words, it's an Isser, but no longer is the person themselves here. So in the event that they were Metame, so she's going to die, and obviously nothing to talk about. However, let's make this point clear, and that is that even before she drinks the water, meaning this Isser Labal, this Isser Labal, this Isser Latruma, and Isser Lekahuna, these four Isurim are going to be true even if she doesn't drink the water, right? And there could be a host of reasons why she's not going to be drinking the water. So we've been discussing that over the course of the Masechta. So even if she doesn't drink the water, all these Yisurim kick in, and she'll therefore be usher to her husband, to the Boel, to Truma, and to Kahuna, even if she doesn't drink the water. Okay, so with that stated, so we're going to be focusing today, at least in the first part of today's daf, on one and two, meaning that she's usher. I'm sorry, we're going to be focusing on three and four, meaning the Isser Labal that we already discussed at length. Right, the nitma, vinitma. Okay, we already discussed that at length in the beginning of the fifth parak. But now, what we're going to be spending more time with is the second two isurim. Sorry, the second set of isurim, and that is the Isser Lekahuna and the Isser Letruma. And let's quickly recap, because this, in other words, right now the Gemara where we're going to be starting today is really a takeoff of a brisa that we did yesterday. So you go back to yesterday.
Rabbi, where are we starting?
We are going to be starting on Chav Ches Amud Beis, and we're going to be starting three lines from the bottom. So we go back to what we said yesterday, and we go back to our Braisa of yesterday. And in the Braisa of yesterday, so a discussion, Tanur Rabbanan. So it says in the Torah three times in the word Nitma. In Nitma, 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 right? All obviously Perkei Naso, Psukim, Yudalid, Chav Zayin, Chav Tes. And so those three, so Rabbi Akiva says, I'll tell you why there are three. Ech Labal, Ech Labal, and Ech and Truma. That's Rabbi Akiva of the Braisa. That's yesterday. And then Rabbi Yishmael says, I have a Kavachomer. Now, without going through the Kal Vachomer, I take it back. Let's go through the Kal Vachomer. We have to know this for today. So the Rebbe Shmuel said Kal Vachomer. When it comes to a Grusha, who is allowed to eat Truma, but yet is usher to marry a Kohen, this woman over here, who is usher in Truma, for sure is going to be usher to marry a Kohen. Okay. So that was the exchange between Rebbe Kiva and Rebbe Shmuel. And as we're about to start today's daf, we're going to note, wait 1 second. Rabbi Kiva was talking about the Isra for Truma. And Rabbi Shmuel says, I have a Kavachomer that tells me that she can't marry a Kohen. Okay, that's great. But Rabbi Kiva wasn't talking about Kohen. Rabbi Kiva was talking about Truma. Ah. So that's where we're going to be starting this morning. In that we have now a debate between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. And like they seem to be talking over one another, not to one another. Rabbi Yishmael, so we're picking it up right now. We're in Chav Chesem and Beis. We are 3 lines from the bottom, Rabbi Yishmael. So I'm Rabbi Kiva Truma Mahadulei Ihu Kahuna. So I don't understand, says the Gemara. Rabbi Kiva was talking about Truma, her compound Isser, 3 Isurim according to Rabbi Akiva, Baal, Baal, and Truma. And Rabbi Yishmael says, I got an argument for Kahuna. What? Rabbi Kiva wasn't talking about Kahuna. And Visu, L'Rabbi Akiva, L'Kahuna, Menale. So, and now, as long as we brought up Kahuna, we now turn our attention back to Rabbi Akiva. Hey, Rabbi Akiva, you know, Rabbi Yishmael's making a good point in that she's going to be usher to a Kohen. Rabbi Akiva, how do you know she's usher to a Kohen? V'chitem, L'Kahuna, Lo Tzrich Akra. And maybe you're going to just suggest, well, maybe according to Rabbi Akiva, she's not usher to a Kohen. The Gemara says that's simply untenable. We're on the top of Chavtesim and Aleph. Sharei Asa Basafik Zona Kizona. Because again, we go back to what we said yesterday. Well, yesterday was one of the big days of Sota. They're all big days, but yesterday was one of the big days of Sota. In that yesterday, the Gemara articulated that even though she's a Suffolk, we don't know what happened in that room. Halachically, she's going to be viewed as a Vadai. Okay, that's how Halacha will treat her. A Suffolk Sota is a Vadai. Which means now that she committed an act of adultery. Halacha will just simply say she did. That's the Isser that's created. Now, whether or not she actually... Let's just move on. In other words, that's what we did. That's what we discussed yesterday. Now, if that's true, legabe truma, meaning if that's going to ban and bar her from eating truma, that's certainly going to ban and bar her from marrying a Kohen. A Zona is not allowed to marry a Kohen. It's a pasuk in the Torah. So the Gemara says, Truma nami loti by crush, are also ba, suffix zona kazona. So the Gemara says, okay, fine, but if that's true, then her ban from Truma also doesn't need a drasha. Meaning, once Halacha views her as a zona, so then she's going to be banned from marrying a Kohen, she's also going to be banned from eating Truma as well. Right? Again, these are Gemaras in Yavamos, I'm not going to go through the drashas right now, but for our purposes, all we need to know is that once you have the status of a zona, you can't eat truma, right? She's a bas kohen. She has the status of a zona. Let's say she, right, death or divorce. She goes back to her family. She can't eat truma. She can't resume in eating truma. And I don't need a drusha for that. In other words, for that, we have psukim as well. So Ella, so the Gemara says like this. Okay, so what we need to do now is that we need to revisit the brisa of yesterday. We need to understand a little bit better what's happening over here so that we understand what exactly is the dialogue between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. So the first thing we're going to do is that we're going to revisit Rabbi Akiva. We're going to restate Rabbi Akiva. So Ela Rabbi Akiva Arba Kraik Sive. So according to Rabbi Akiva, there are 4 psukim. Now there aren't 4 psukim, by the way. We can't simply manufacture a pasuk. So there really are 3 psukim, but you have the extra vav. Meaning on one of the nitmas, you have a vav. So it's nitma 3 times over and you have the vav. Remember yesterday's daf? We said that Rabbi Akiva darshins vavim. So that means to say, right, we did that uva'u for Rabbi Akiva, and it got 6 times over, right? 3 ba'us and then 3 vavs and it's 6 drashas. That was yesterday. So again, so according to Rabbi Akiva, you have a vav. So that means that according to Rabbi Akiva, it's not 3 psukim, it's 4 psukim. Okay, 4 drasha opportunities. And now granted, by the way, that if we're trying to read this in the Braisa, it's a bit of a stretch because the Braisa in yesterday's daf said, with clarity, 3. So I'm not really sure what's happening right now in the Gemara, meaning I understand that we're trying to make sense of the conversation, but in terms of the actual text and nusach of the Braisa from yesterday, the Braisa was actually really clear. It said 3. And now we're changing it to 4? Okay. Obviously that's an edit, but and the Gemara seems to not be bothered so much by that point. Okay, so in that case, why don't I not be so bothered by that point, and why don't we just move on?
It's also just pretty bothered that he's only darshaning.
On the nitmas, not on the ba'u. On the nitma. So, right? So, on the nitmas, there's only one of them that has a vav. Okay, fine. So, So now, according to Rabbi Akiva, so what do I have I for? So chal abav, chal abol, chal lekohen, chal lekohuna, v'chal betruma. Good. So now, according to Rabbi Akiva, so what do I have? Good. So now I have a compound Isurim, and we know them already. For the Baal, for Truma, and for Kahuna. All of them are coming to us via Drasha. Now, Rabbi Yishmael, Tlasa Kraik, Sive. Now, what Rabbi Yishmael is fundamentally arguing about is the Vav. Rabbi Yishmael says the Vav is not eligible. It's not open for Drashas. Again, it goes back to what we also saw yesterday as well, right? Sometimes Darshan the Vav, sometimes don't Darshan the Vav. Anyway, it's very similar, by the way, to another Gemara, which is a lot more famous, and that is, do I darshan the S of the Torah? What do I do with the S of the Torah? Right? Do I darshan it? Do I not darshan it? Good. Gemara Menachos, I think we are all familiar. Definitely a more popular Gemara. So similarly over here. So I have a Vav. So is that going to be open to a drasha? So Rabbi Yishmael says it's not. So now I only have three. So obviously we're talking now about triage. So if I have three drasha, so what gets knocked out? So chalabal, chalabal, v'chad, litruma. So the three for Rabbi Yishmael is going to be bal and bal. You know those are the those aren't budging. And now which one is going to get knocked out vis-a-vis drasha? So it's going to be kahuna gets knocked out, truma's in, kahuna's out. In a moment, we're going to try to wrap our heads around why that is. But right now, that's the case. Now, kahuna asa b'kav v'chomer. And now Rabbi Yishmael says, so now that I have three drashas, Baal, Bol, and Truma, so what am I going to do regarding Kahuna? Oh, I don't have a drasha, but I have another tool. Rabbi Yishmael goes into his toolbox, right, the way I described it yesterday. He goes into his toolbox, and what does he take out? He takes out Kav HaChomer. Kav HaChomer is a way of expounding. And via Kav HaChomer now, the Isser will extend also to Kahuna as well. Okay. Rabbi Yishmael, me my Ditzrichra, the Truma. Kahuna asya kavachomer dilma ki itzarach lekahuna and truma sharya. So the Gemara says, okay, how about this as a proposal? Why don't we propose that according to Rabbi Yishmael, we know the number of drushes he has available, three, and we know Baal and Baal are absolutely givens, and the third one now. Why don't we just do the following? Why don't we say that the third one is not for? It's not for truma, but rather it's for kahuna, that her iser, that she's going to have an iser to marry kohanim afterwards. And by the way, her iser to marry kohanim, for a moment, just pause and think about it. What does that mean? It means that she's a sota. It means that she didn't drink the water. It means that her husband died. Okay? Then can we even entertain the possibility of her marrying a kohen. Because if the marriage terminated in divorce, so then obviously she's a grusha. Nothing to talk about over there. So it has to be where she's a sota, she didn't drink, the husband died, and now can she marry a kohen? Okay, just making sure that everyone's clear about what we're talking about. So the proposal on the table is that for Rabbi Yishmael, there's an issa for the bowl, there's an issa for the bowl, there's an issa for kahuna, what about truma? No issa for truma. So the Gemara says, no, I'm not ready to entertain that. Amalacha mistabra dumya de balubowal. Ma balubo mechayim, avtruma nami mechayim, lafuke kahuna, lacher misa. No. So the Gemara says, it's gotta be that the third one has to match the first two. Balam bowal, now I have a third drasha opportunity, and what could fit into that third slot? It's either gonna be kohen or it's gonna be truma. What's a better match? What fits one and two better? So the Gemara makes an outstanding argument, and that is that Truma fits it better. Why? Because Truma is Mechayim. Meaning Truma would be true while the principles are alive. In other words, Baal and Boel, obviously, the Isser is while they're alive. Again, if they're dead, then there's nothing to talk about. So the Isserim are while they're alive. So same thing is going to be regarding Truma. Meaning by Truma, the Isser Truma is while all the principles are alive. But what about kahuna? As I just got done explaining, I kind of foreshadowed this Gemara over here. When it comes to kohen, necessarily somebody has to die. Again, if the marriage ended in divorce, so then there's nothing to talk about. She's a grusha. She can't marry a kohen. The only way we can ever get to the point of even discussing, well, can this woman marry a kohen? By definition, that means the husband had to have died. Oh, so, which again is fine in the context of this discussion, which is fine, but that means to say then that kahuna is a worse match than that of truma. Truma is a better match because truma, the Isser Truma would apply even while all the principles are alive. Okay. So the Gemara is arguing that for Rabbi Shmuel, if I have that third slot and I have two options of what to put in that third slot, either Kahuna or Truma, it makes more sense. It's Mistaber to put in Truma, not Kahuna. Okay. Laugh. Okay. About Mechayim. So I have Truma Nami Mechayim. Laugh. Okay. Kahuna. Laugh. Hamisa. Okay. Good. Ve Rabbi Akiva. Okay. So. We're almost done with this analysis, so we finished now the analysis of Rabbi Shmuel, three drashas. Obviously, that means that there are four possibilities. One of them is going to get knocked out, at least as being part of the drasha. And we know, we all know the conclusion. This goes back to yesterday's daf. So for Rabbi Shmuel, it's Baal Baal and Truma, and Kahuna has just simply learned Davai Kavachomer. Now we can turn all of our attention back to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, Domiya Dabal Dabal Leifle. So as far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned, where he darshens the extra vav, meaning for him, he doesn't subscribe to this idea of let's figure out what's the better match. Meaning he just simply doesn't believe that there is a better match. And for Rabbi Akiva, if he didn't open up a fourth slot, we couldn't just simply then elect and decide which one is going to go into the third slot. Alternatively, maybe no. Maybe according to Rabbi Akiva, maybe he does subscribe to the idea that of better match. And that is that if there were really three slots, so what we would have done is we would have put in the better match. The better match would have been Truma. And then what would we have done? We would have then used the Kavachomer to go from Truma to Kahuna, like Rabbi Shmuel did. It's a good Kavachomer. Rabbi Akiva would have agreed to the Kavachomer. But for Rabbi Akiva, you know what happens sometimes? I'll tell you what happens sometimes. Sometimes, even though there is a Kavachomer available to make, sometimes the Torah goes out of its way to write it out rather than learn it via Kavachomer. Okay. Now, just if we can, for just a moment, pause and think about what the Gemara just taught us. Right? This is an idea that we hear numerous times throughout the Gemara. Mil sadasi b'kavachomer, tarich v'kasav lakra. You're going to hear that. We're going to hear that many times. That even though there is a possibility for a Kavachomer to have been made, but sometimes the Torah wants to write it out. Now, there are a number of reasons why that is. I'm just going to note over here, this is not a shear on this particular idea, but I'm just going to note over here. The Torah is writing it out. Torah is writing it out over here. Right, you already know what I'm going to say. Torah writing it out over here is based on the fact that we have multiple nitma'as in the Parsha and an extra vav. That's the Torah writing it out. Meaning, you and I on our own, had we not had the Torah Shabbat Peh, I'm not sure we would have figured it out. Meaning, it's not really explicit in the Torah. Oh, this woman who's a Sota has got four Isurim. She's got an Isur to the Baal. She's got an Isur to the Baal. She's got an Isur to Truma. She's got an Isur to Kuna. How do I know that? Well, look at the Pesukim. If I were given the Torah and I were told, okay, find the Isurim now, I wouldn't have done it. So it's rather remarkable in this particular context where Mil Sadasi B'Kavachomer, we could have made a Kavachomer, but the Torah goes out of its way to write it out. Writing it out over here is far from being really explicit about, yeah, I see it. I wouldn't have seen it. Okay, anyway. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the first part of today's daf. First part of today's daf, just a better understanding of the exchange between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Vis-a-vis the Isurim, the compound Isurim of the Sota. She is Aser. And the funny part is after a lengthy discussion, we went 20 minutes this morning on this, in addition to what we did yesterday. After a lengthy discussion, we all agree, all parties agree to the fact that she has compound Isurim on her, to the husband, to the Bawel, to Truma, to Kahuna. It's just a question of, I mean, that's what we do in the Gemara, of how to get there. What exactly are the drushas that get us to that conclusion. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the first part of today's daf, part number two. Amar of Gidol Marav, Davar Sheyesh Bo Das Lishaal. So the davishesh, I'm sorry, davishesh bodas lishal, ein bodas lishal, mihai kroy nafka. Even before I started, let's also recap what we did yesterday. Yesterday we touched on one of the more fundamental points regarding safek, and that is safek tumah. Safek tumah brishas yachid is going to be tameh, and we know that from sota. And as we pointed out yesterday, sota is a world of iser v'heter. Tumah is obviously a world of tumah tahara. And generally speaking, those are two different areas, arenas of halacha. And yet we made the jump yesterday from iser to tumah. Why? Because when the Torah describes the sota, the Torah keeps using the word tumah. So that allows us, basically creates a bridge so that what we take, what we know from sota and move it over to tumah. What do we know by sota? By sota we know that the two of them in the room, nobody knows what happened outside of those two. And yet it's a safek. And the Torah says she is a vadai. We're going to treat her halachically like a vadai. Okay. So that's by sota. So now we take that idea. We move it over to tumah. And we said now the same thing is going to be true by tumah. If I have safek tumah, so it's going to be tame. However, the safek tumah has to match what we saw by the sota. What do we know by the sota? Number one, it was a rishus yachid. It was just the two of them in the room. So vis-a-vis this halacha of safek tumah, so it has to, number one, it has to be rishus yachid. Rishus yachid, as we explained yesterday, does not mean Shabbos rishus yachid. Rishus yachid just simply means it has to be a group of two or less. Okay, and obviously in the world of sota, it can't be less than two. It must be two. But still, two or less when it comes to safek tumah. So that's qualification number one. It has to be rishus yachid. Qualification number two, by the case of sota, what do I have? I have people who can think. Now, obviously, they not only can think, but they thought to make the wrong choices, but that doesn't matter. In other words, you have people who think, yesh bo das lishal. So now when I take over and I go over to tumah, by safek tumah, I only say safek tumah is going to be tumah when? Yesh bo das lishal. The safek is involving somebody who could think, otherwise known as a person. Or as we expressed yesterday, the person's holding a kli. But in other words, as long as the person's holding a kli, that is considered yesh bo das lishal. If, on the other hand, I had a safek tumah where it was by inanimate objects, meaning what happened is that the dead sheretz rolled over the shelf and may have touched a kli. We don't know. It looks like the trajectory suggested that there may have been contact. We simply don't know. But it's a safek. So over there, it's ein bo das lishal. It doesn't match the sota model, so then it's not safek, and that doesn't fall under the category of safek tumah b'rishos yachid. So basically, we have learned two qualifications by safek tumah. It's safek tumah is going to be tameh, but only if, one, it's a b'rishos yachid, and two, it's yesh bo das lishal. And we learned that from sota, that was yesterday's daf. Now we go to today's daf, and the Gemara says, I thought we knew this idea from a different pasuk. And that's what the Gemara is going to present, that there is another pasuk that seemingly is getting us to the same point. And the Gemara is just simply going to say, if I could spoil the Gemara is going to say, I need both psukim and I need both drashas. I need the sota drasha and I need the drasha that we're about to see together. Let's see it together. Amrav Gidol Amrav Davishesh Bodas Lishal Ein Bodas Lishal Me'akrei Nafka Pasuk Va'basar Asher Yigah B'chol Tamei Lo Ye'achel. This is Perek Zayin of Vayikra. So Vaday Tamei Hu De Lo Ye'achel HaSafek Tamei Safek Tamar Ye'achel. So that means to say only when there was definitive contact is it tameh. If it's possible contact, it's tahor. That's what I would have thought, Ema Seifa. But no, let's go on. Veha basar kol tahor, yocha basar. So only when somebody is in a state of tahara, he's allowed to eat kachim. So vaday tahor hu di yocha basar. Ha, safek tameh, safek tahor, lo yocha. Which means that only if he's definitively tahor, possibly tahor, which obviously also means possibly tameh, he's not allowed to eat kachim. So where do we stand on safek? Mixed messaging of the Torah. So Ela Lav Shmamina Kan Sheish Bodas Lishal Kan Ein Bodas Lishal. So the resolution is, well, let's take a look at what's being involved in the safek. In the first pasuk that we cited, we're talking about meat. Meat's an inanimate object, and it came into contact with tumah, possible contact, and yet over there we say it's tahor because that's Ein Bodas Lishal. In the second pasuk that we quoted, the habasar called tahor yocha basar, when the person is tahor, obviously we're talking about an animate object, we're talking about a person. And now over there, in the case of safek, we're going to say that he's tamei. Ah, so the difference is, one's inanimate, the other's animate. Okay, and yesh bodas lishal, ein bodas lishal. And we learned that by based on the Pesukim. So the Gemara is bothered by what seems to be that we have two drushas getting us to the same point. And so the Gemara says, it's Derech. Okay, good. Two drushas, they're both necessary. Derev Gidol, Amarav Itzrech, Derev Gidol, Amarav Itzrech, Lemigmar Misota. I need both. Why? De'im Ederav, because if I only had the drush of Rav, the one that we just saw, Hava, Amin, Abim, Vershos, Yachad, Abim, Vershos, Arabim, Itzrech, Lemigmar. I would have not known of this distinction of Rishos Yachad Rishos Arabim. That only came about via Sota. Oh, okay, it's fine. So therefore, I need Sota to tell me about the distinction of Rishos Yachad Rishos Arabim. And so it's Rechle Migmar Misota. V'imi Sota Havamina Adika Dasno Gea Magia. Now, by Sota, we said Yeshbo Dasli Shal. They have to be both thinking individuals. So the Gemara says, yeah, how many thinking individuals I have in that room? I had two thinking individuals. I had the Isha and her Boel. So that means, Yesh Bo Das Lishal means that I need, how many thinking parties involved? I would need two thinking parties involved. So then I would have said that the criteria of Yesh Bo Das Lishal would need two thinking parties. Now, in the case of Sheretz, one has to wonder. The Sheretz, A, doesn't do much in terms of thinking, and B, and probably more significantly, the Sheretz is dead. It only gives off tumah after it's dead. So I have the remains of a sheretz. So it just, in other words, even as a suggestion of I need two thinking parties in order for it to be yesh bo das lishal, because the sota's got two thinking parties. So by the sheretz, by definition, the sheretz itself is an inanimate object. Okay. So all right. Anyway, but the sotricha. So that's why I have the psukim. I have the psukim from Parsha Tzav that tells me that no, that the as long as I have one thinking party involved in the suffix, that's sufficient. That's going to be enough. Okay, good. So yesh bo das lishal suffix tuma b'rishus yachid is going to be tummy, but only yesh bo das lishal. How do I know that? The answer is I have two sources. One is sota, the other is the psukim in Parsha Tzav, and the Gemara just went through. They're both necessary. Okay, and now.
In the last paragraph, we learned that the katan is not eligible for sota. And if we're learning tuma from sota, does that mean that a
right.
katan is not
right? Right to sota, right. To what degree are we going to take the sota halachas and transfer it over to this tuma? Right? Why are we capping it at only two aspects and not more than two aspects? Okay, good question. I don't have a prepared statement. Okay. I don't know. It's a good question. The remainder of today's daf going into tomorrow's daf, Tumat Tahara. Okay. And hopefully you're wondering to yourself, haven't I been discussing Tumat Tahara for basically all of today's daf? True. But over here, basic Tumat Tahara discussion that we're going to be having. It's good. And we get to do this a couple times throughout Shas. Most notably, we do it at the end of the first parak of Pesachim. Right? Once you hit your test in that first parak of Pesachim, the remainder of the first parak is all talking about Tumat Tahara. A lot of what we're doing right now is the Gemara Pesachim as well. Okay, let's start off with what we both know and is correct. And that is that the Avatam is the source of a Tuma, and that can go on a Sheretz, it could be on a Vela, it could be on a Zav, Zav, Anida, Yoledes, and it goes on and on. The list goes on and on. Obviously, the granddaddy of it all is Mace. Right, so that is all an avatum. It's a source of tuma. It's where tuma emanates from, and then it comes into contact. Now, when you have an avatum, so an avatum is metame, adam, kalim, ochlin, mashkin. Okay, now if I have anything which is now not the source tuma, but it contact and becomes tame, so that's what's called a vlada tuma. So a vlada tuma, so a lot of things can become a vlada tuma. A person could be a vlada tuma. Food could be a vlada tuma. But once something is a vlada tuma, it's not the source. But in other words, it came into contact with the source. So now it's a vlada tuma. Vlada tuma can only be mitame, ochel mashkin. It can't be mitame, adam akelim. Okay, good. Again, ABCs right now, this is just basic rudimentary, ideas regarding tuma. Now, in terms of how far into the transference does it go from the Av? Well, it depends. If we're talking about Chulin, so Chulin, if Chulin food comes into contact with the Sheretz, so that Chulin food now is a Rishon. The next Chulin food that it touches is a Sheni and Adkan. That takes us to the end of the road. No longer, no more is it going to become Tameh. Okay, so by chulin, it stops at sheni. Now by truma, it extends to a shlishi, which means that if my sheni chulin, or anything which is a sheni l'tumah, if sheni comes into contact with truma, the truma now becomes a shlishi. Now, just in terms of vocabulary, so instead of saying that the shlishi truma is tameh, the correct wording is that it's pasul. Pasul is just simply a way of saying it's tameh, but it's the end of the road, right? That's the last stop by truma. And finally, by kachim, kachim is so sensitive, it can become a revi. Okay, so if anything which is a shlishi, and by chulin, it can't become a shlishi. But so if it's truma, which is a shlishi, or even if it's carbon, which is a shlishi, and then it comes into contact with other carbon, so that next carbon is going to become a revi. And again, adkan, that takes us to the end of the road. You'll probably notice a trend. The more kedusha that it has, the more susceptible and sensitive it is to tuma. Okay, so, right, that correlation is clear. Good. So that is all, these are fundamental points. And if I went over too quickly and there are parts that you don't understand, come see me later. But that's rudimentary. Then we go back to our Mishnah that we learned, because our Mishnah went off tangent, it went off road. Bo ba yom darsh Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Kiva darshin. Now, according to Shitas Rabbi Kiva, Rashi said this back in the Mishnah, it's clear that according to Rabbi Kiva, chulin can become a shlishi. It's not the accepted halacha. Okay, but Rabbi Kiva has a drasha. Now, the way he arrives at that conclusion is because when the pasuk describes, asher yipo mehem el tocho, kol asher besocho yitma, then when the sheretz goes into a kli cheres, the sheretz doesn't even have to come into contact with the kli cheres, and anything inside that kli cheres is going to become tameh. So that means, let's go over sequencing. Sheretz is an avatama. The kli cheres now becomes a rishon. And what does the food inside become? A sheni. So far, so good. Nothing to argue with over there. That's simple pshat in the psukim. What Rabbi Kiva will tell you is that I know the Torah uses the words yitma in describing that food that was in the kli cheres together with the sheretz. I know that. But it could be read yitameh. That not only is the food tameh, but it's yitameh. It can go ahead and cause tumah to something else, i.e. it can make other chulin also tameh. That is Rabbi Kiva's drasha. To which, basically, the consensus was, we don't agree. Right? Right. The vast majority. The consensus, let's leave it like that. That's the most accurate way I could say it. The consensus is no. When it comes to chulin, chulin stops at sheni and does not go beyond that. Now again, by the sheni chulin can go ahead and be metame truma. But and we're going to get to in today's daf, how do I know that? But in the meantime, however, what's clear is that according to Rabbi Akiva, he has a drasha that sheni can make even a shlishi by chulin. Good. That's the shita of Rabbi Akiva. So baba yom darish Rabbi Akiva v'chol kli cheres. And just go back to my last 5 minutes of introduction. Now, umiachar de'in lo lamatame. So the Gemara wants to know that if you remember in the Mishnah, Rav Yochanan Zakkai says that doros habayim, future generations, is going to be metahir shlishi even by truma, meaning we don't have an explicit pasuk that says that truma can become a shlishi. So umiachar de'in lo. So I'm curious, says the Gemara. It's a simple question. The accepted halacha is that sheni can make a shlishi by truma. Question is, how do we know that? Meaning, I don't have a pasuk that supports that, and the later generations are gonna point that out, right? Right. We are the later generations, but we don't. No offense to anyone here in this room, but we don't have an opinion. Oh, okay, good. But later generations are gonna point that out. So the Gemara starts off with a nice and easy question. Umiachar de ein lo, so lamatame. So then why should the truma become tame? So I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, minatara ein lo, but midin kavacham yesh lo. So the Gemara says, okay, because you're right, I don't have a pasuk. What I do have is I have a kavachomer. Umatvo yom shemut bechulin. Now I admit, by the way, we're going to hear this kavachomer numerous times. We're hearing it here in today's daf in Sota Chavtes. We heard it back in Psachim at the end of the first parak, and in other places in Shas, we get to hear this. The more you hear it, I'm speaking to me right now. The more you hear the kavachomer, the easier it's going to be to absorb and digest. If you're hearing this for the first time, I'm telling you, it's going to be just hard to wrap our heads around it. So, midin kavacham or yesh lo ma tful yom shemotu b'chulin. Now, when it comes to a tful yom, that's somebody that was tamei utovled in the mikvah waiting for Erev Shemesh. So now he is allowed to eat chulin. And yet, pasul b'chumah. But at this point in time, it's way too premature in his tahara process for him to eat chumah. He can't eat chumah. What does he have to do in order to eat chumah? Wait for Erev Shemesh. First Mishnah Brachos, we know that. So pasul b'chumah. So what do we just establish? That we're putting side by side together chul and chuma. Chuma has more sensitivity when it comes to tuma tahara, right? Our tful yom can't eat chuma, but the Erev Shemesh can eat chuma. So kik arsheni shepasul b'chul and eno din shiyase shlishi b'chuma. So if I have a kik arsheni, right? Kik arsheni, second loaf of bread. What's second loaf of bread? What does that mean? It means that it came into contact with a rishon, and now it's a sheni. And we know that tuma can go, chulin can go become a sheni. So if that's true by chulin, and go back one point, go back one step, and we know that truma has more sensitivity than that of chulin, so what am I going to say by truma? If chulin can become a sheni, truma can become a shlishi. Ah, kavachomer. Rashi points out over here, everyone here knows the rules of kavachomer, and that is that a kavachomer is always capped. In other words, daya lavom in adin liyoska nadon. You can't use a kavachomer and generate a halacha that goes past the point of where we were learning from. The source is always going to set the limits of where the halacha is going to extend to. That's your basic rule of kav v'chomer, dayo. Over here, we're breaking the rule. Rashi observes it right here in our Gemara. We're breaking the rule, meaning chulin can go to a sheni. Ah, truma, oh, can go even further. Wait one second, go a little further. In other words, the kav v'chomer is lovely. It's a good kav v'chomer. But in other words, but what you just did is you exceeded the limits. We're learning from chulin, which can only go to sheni. Ah, truma can go to shlishi. Rashi addresses it. See Rashi here inside on the bottom of the amud, where he addresses the fact that we just violated the rule of dayo. Okay, there's obviously I could explain more, but we're going to go on. But okay, if you understood that, great. So the it's a inadin shiasa shlishi b'shuma. So ikal amifrach, the Gemara says, okay, as far as the kal v'chomer is concerned, I don't love the kal v'chomer, malatvul yom, shekein avatuma. So as far as the tvul yom is concerned, so the tvul yom himself is an avatuma. So tesi mi tvul yom, I'm sorry. So as a result of that, the kal v'chomer is learning from tvul yom over to a kikar sheni. Kikar sheni is not an avatuma. So the Gemara says tesi mi tvul yom desheretz. So maybe as far as the kal v'chomer is concerned, so maybe the kal v'chomer can be generated from tful yom desheretz. We've now turned to the top of the amud beis, and in the amud beis now, so at least in terms of resurrecting the kal v'chomer, so the tful yom of a sheretz, so that does not have the chomer, so to say, of being an avatuma. So the Gemara says mala tful yom desheretz chikain b'mino avatuma. The Gemara says okay, but categorically it is an avatuma. Meaning, start with the sheretz. What is the sheretz? Obviously, an avatuma. So the Gemara says kli cheres yochiach. So the Gemara says okay. So let's go to the case of kli cheres, meaning that the sheretz falls into the kli cheres. The kli cheres now is not an avatuma. It's a rishon, and maybe the kal v'chomer can be generated from there. So the Gemara says mala kli cheres shekein matamei me'avir. The Gemara says yeah, but generating any kal v'chomer from kli cheres is unique. We talk about the unique aspects of kli cheres all the time. It's only metame me avir. It's not metame me gaba. Okay, if you understood that, great. If not, that's fine. In other words, kli cheres is a unique entity in the world of tuma. Don't generate a kal v'chomer from kli cheres. So malik kli cheres shekein metame me aviro. So tul yom tochiach v'chozer din. So the Gemara says, okay. So what we'll do is the following: we'll make a kal v'chomer, and it'll be a joint effort. We'll use the kal v'chomer from a tful yom, and we'll couple that. We'll layer on top of that also kli cheres. And v'chozer adin lo rizek rizek v'lo rizek rizek hatzad hashav shemahen shemutarim b'chulin apostle mitzruma. Now let's look at the common denominator, and that is chulin. In other words, chulin would be allowed in both of those circumstances, and it's apostle by truma. So kol shekein kikar sheni, so she posa b'chulin and posa b'truma. So kikar sheni is going to be pasul b'chulin. It's going to be pasul by truma as well. In other words, so now what I have is the following. How do I know truma can become a shlishi? I have no pasuk. Okay, I have no pasuk. Great. Let's ask the question again. How can truma become a shlishi? And the answer is the kavachomer. How are we making this kavachomer? Okay, that's not an easy question to answer. That, right? That is going to be a long essay answer. What we just went through in the Gemara, the steps that we went through in the Gemara. Meaning we tried to learn from one source, we couldn't because of it's not on equal footing. We try to learn from a second source, also not on equal footing. And we're using now the Tzad Hashav, the common denominator between the two, arriving us now to the fact that we do seemingly have a Kavachomer that gets us to the fact that Truma can become a Shlishi. And Vador Acher. Now, the later generation. Again, the later generation is going to note. There are no Psukim that say that Truma can become a Shlishi. And now, all you're riding on is a Kavachomer. The later generation will say, we dismiss the Kavachomer. And Parich. Malat Tzad Hashav Hashem Shekein Yesh Bahem Tzad Chamor. So, and they have tzad chamor. In other words, I can't use the common denominator, ignoring that I'm learning from an avatama. I'm learning from kli cheres. They both have unique aspects to them that are not shared generally throughout the world of tama. And now I want to make a kavar chamor using common denominator, ignoring that they both have tzad chamor. The dor acher, the later generation, is going to say no. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, tzad chamor lo parich. Now Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who's going to be defending the old guard that a truma can become a shlishi, he'll say, I don't think that pircha is a pircha. Okay. I hope all that was clear. I admit that part's difficult. That part was a little bit complicated. Okay, we are up to Revi'i. So let's pause over here. This is okay. It's Tumat Tahara. Okay, which is good, but it's heavy lifting in terms of Gemara. Okay, let's quickly recap what we did today. And I can break up today's daf into three parts. Well, the truth of the matter is there's a little more ahead, but we'll finish up tomorrow. Three parts in today's daf. Number one, that exchange between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. The compound Isurim of the Sota. The Sota is also two. Baal, Bo'al, Truma, Kahuna. Right? And everybody agrees that she's Asura to all that. But how do I know that? So it says the words nitma. How many times does it say? So let's go with the conclusion of what we learned at the first part of today's daf. And that is that according to Rabbi Kiva, I have four drushas. It says nitma three times. One of them has an extra vav in the front. We know Rabbi Kiva darshens a vav. That's four nitma'as or four drushas. Say like that. And therefore allowing for four isurim. She, the sota, is going to be asur to her husband. Two, the boal. Two, kahuna, and two, truma. Those are the four isurim that, according to Rabbi Kiva, are explicit in the Torah. And again, I say the word, good. You're right. You reacted correctly, meaning the fact that it says, right, according to Rabbi Kiva, right. Tarech v'kasa bakra. Torah went out of its way to say it. Okay, yeah, right. I commented it earlier. It's hard to see it on our own, but okay, good. That's why we have Torah Shabbat. Good. So that was Rabbi Kiva. And Rabbi Shmuel said, no, he only has three drushes, and the reason why is because he doesn't darshan the vav. So only he has three drushes, and now what? So now what was left in was Baal, Boel, and Truma. What about Kohen? Kavachomer, to get from Truma to Kahuna. Okay, good. That's part number one of today's daf.
Did we go
Well, I think more to the question of what's the difference? Meaning the conclusion, they all agree to the conclusion. What's going to be a practical difference between the two positions? Again, I've been thinking about that question for a while. I don't have a prepared answer for that. But okay, that's number one. Number two, second part of today's daf. This idea of safik tamei b'rishos yachid is sfeiko tamei, but only if as das bo lisha'o. It has to involve people. In other words, thinking entities, people. If it does not involve thinking entities, so then the suffix is going to be tahor. How do I know that? I have yesterday's daf, I have today's daf. In yesterday's daf, we learned it from Sota. In today's daf, we learned it from a series of psukim and parshat saf. Fine. Why do I need two sources? The Gemara went through that. Tzricha, they're both necessary. That was our second part of today's daf. And then finally, a third part of today's daf, which is going to go into tomorrow's daf, and that is Tumat Tahara. Right? Rabbi Kiva says, I have a drasha. And that is that chulin can not only become a sheni, can become a shlishi as well. The psukim indicate that the chulin can become a sheni, and that's it. Rabbi Kiva says, it says yitma, but it could also be read yitameh. Rabbi Kiva has such a drasha. And Chachmei Yisrael said, no, we don't accept it. Okay. Now, considering the fact that that is the conclusion, we don't accept it, but here's what we do say, even though we don't accept that, but what the sheni is now going to be able to do is it's going to be able to transfer tuma to truma, where truma can become now a shlishi. Well, how did Chachmei Yisrael know that? That was the heavy lifting of today's daf. The answer is they learned it via Kal Vachomer. Kal Vachomer arrives to that conclusion. Again, a lot of stumbling blocks in that Kal Vachomer, which we noted today. Number one, well, we basically violated the rule of Dayo. Whenever doing a Kal Vachomer, I can't generate a halacha from point A to point B and exceed the limits of point A. Point A is chulin. Chulin only goes to a sheni. And now I want to, through Kal Vachomer, get to Truma, which is now going to be a shlishi. Kal Vachomer is great, but we violated the rules of Dayo. So Rashi noted that. Good. So see the Rashi on the bottom of the Amud Aleph, who explains why it is that here we were allowed to do that. And then the other challenge of the Kal Vachomer is going to be based on the fact that, where am I learning it from? So that was a challenge, because we tried to learn it from Tevil Yom, we tried to learn it from Kli Cheres. Each of those has something unique about it. So what we tried to do now is take the common denominator of the two and then move it to Tumah in general. Okay, can I do that? Am I allowed to take the common denominator? Yes, you are, but it's tricky. In other words, now it becomes a trickier way to make a Kal Vachomer. And the Gemara said that later generations, right? It's such an interesting idea, right? The Mishnah taught us. It's not even the Gemara. The Mishnah already said, forecasting the future, later generations are going to say, we don't, boo. Right? We don't like the Kal Vachomer. We don't think the logic is sound. We don't think the reasoning is rational. The later generations are not going to like it. Although, the Gemara notes that Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai obviously was a proponent. He was a defendant of the Kal Vachomer.